welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio, special once-a-month edition of Boomer Califragilistic Expecalidocious or whatever, now with twice the boomers. So anyway, go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send shekels, badly needed fundage. Okay, and also go to nationalbugle.com. I haven't been showing it much lately, but that's where you go, and there will be, hopefully, a lot of the stories that Mark Dankoff is going to talk about will be up there. I will put them up there. I won't even expect him to do it. I'll do it. But, okay, so welcome to the show, Mark and Andy. Are we ready to go, gentlemen?
Yes.
Yes, okay. I think
yes.
Sorry, now you start. I've got something to play if you would like me to. It's a six-second clip that I can introduce, but it's your show, so you go ahead, Patrick.
Okay, I understand, Andy, you have a short clip to play. Why don't we hear that?
Very good. Very well handled there. Yeah, there's just a little backstory to this. Are either of you aware that Walt Disney was cryogenically frozen to be revived at a later date?
Actually, I think I've heard that. How about you, Mark?
I've heard that.
Well, I was sent this, and apparently they actually woke him up recently, and this is what happened. Here we go.
Welcome back, Mr. Disney.
Are the Jews gone yet?
No.
Put me back in.
That's it.
Best six-second clip I've ever heard.
Incidentally, well, that was from Family Guy. Go ahead.
Okay, that's from Family Guy. They should incorporate Kanye West in there somewhere. But because, I mean, who else is going to take care of the problem for us? I don't know. Anyway, and the thing is, I'm just going to make one quick comment. It's not like I want to be mean to these people. I don't. But honestly, look at everything they've done over just the past couple of years with trying to inject us all with these vaccines, whether or not we want them. The black, you know, inciting the blacks to riot. And now we're on the verge of World War III. Over what? I mean, and the World War III, this Ukraine thing, is completely a Jewish affair. And yet, it like, I think of this meme. I think I'm going to make the meme and post it on National Bugle, hopefully by the time this plays. I think of, you know, there's a meme where you got a guy and he's all sweating. He's kind of in a superhero costume. He's sweating. He's in front of a panel that's got two buttons on it. And he's not sure which one to pick. He's sweating. And, you know, one button is die in a nuclear war. And the other button is name the Jews. And he just doesn't know which to do. He just doesn't know which to do. Okay, I think that's enough. that's where we're at now.
Well, yeah, I mean, all I would say is what you've said there, essentially, it's the mainstream media. When you look at what I witnessed in the mainstream media of them shaming people into getting vaccinated, even though they knew full well, if I, with my little show, know that there are government figures in the UK that say thousands of people have died after taking it and nearly 500,000 have been injured after taking it, then they know that damn well. Yet they continue to push it, to push it, to push it. And then, of course, when you talk about the situation in the Ukraine, why, if the West are so, you know, distraught over Putin invading the Ukraine and trying to overthrow the Ukraine, why weren't they behaving in that same manner, rather, back in 2014 when there was an overthrow of the Ukraine? And that's because it was the likes of Victoria Nuland, who is Jewish, that was behind that regime change over there. And after that happened, we know that these breakaway republics were constantly bombed and shelled. I think 15,000 people died in the years since that from attacks by the Ukraine, and the Western media did nothing. And now we look at Zelensky in there, he is Jewish, and you look at the Pfizer guy, Albert Bourla, he is Jewish, and they don't want you to talk about this in the West at all, so that meme is very telling, Patrick. And that's why we're having all these crackdowns everywhere. Don't talk about this, don't talk about that, and it's unacceptable. Back to you.
It sounds like you don't think Zelensky's a hero. Okay, I know that Mark's, as always, has all sorts of important articles for us. That he's a news hound, and actually more than a news hound, he's more of an analysis hound, and he's got all sorts of analyses that he is going to introduce to us. Is that correct, Mark?
Always correct. Yes,
okay.
Sir.
Well, take it away.
Hello, Texas, America, the world. This is Mark Dankoff coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on Patrick Slattery's National Bugle Radio and RBN and for ACH. Here we go. A few items. U.S. doesn't owe Zelensky a damn thing. That is a quote from U.S. Representative Paul Gosar, Republican of Arizona. He says that Washington is not acting in its self-interest during the ongoing Russia-Ukraine crisis. I would correct Representative Gosar in one respect. Washington is acting in its self-interest. Washington is not acting in our self-interest. But definitely Gosar's a terrific guy, staunch anti-interventionist. He's a member of the Republican Party's unofficial America First Caucus. He has emerged as one of the loudest critics of the Biden administration's Ukraine policy. He voted against a $40 billion military and economic aid package for Kiev in May, against a spending bill offering Kiev another $12 billion last month. To quote Representative Paul Gosar, Republican of Arizona, in regard to his Twitter page, no more foreign aid, especially not to fund a war that we should have no, capital N-O, involvement in. Biden and his crime family may owe Zelensky, says Representative Gosar, but America doesn't owe him a damn thing. That's on RT today. It'll be on the list of stories that I will turn over to Patrick after the show is over. Let's do a quick run through some other ones. We'll have the show roadmap up from October 4th. Here's one from the Post-Millennial. The Biden administration requires trans women to register for the draft if they were born male. However, if you were born female, you don't have to register if you're trans. Figure that one out, folks, but that's factual. It comes to us from the Post-Millennial. Here's one that I've been talking about quite a bit in Russia recently. There is a video out entitled The Secret Subversion of American Orthodoxy. Whether you are an American who belongs to some version of the Eastern Orthodox Church, or you are involved in Orthodoxy in any other place in the globe, or you simply want to learn how global homo subverts, you need to see this video. And in this particular case, the folks at Global Orthodox have provided study notes in two parts for this video. There's a number of interesting institutions and money trails and individuals who come up with this or who come into play in this. Those are going to be listed in the show description. Here is one that is particularly fascinating, though. A fellow by the name of Boris Jordan. He's a Russian-American. His name is not Boris Jordaninsky, and he doesn't play in the NBA. His name is Boris Jordan, okay? And this particular guy is a so-called Russian-American financier. He is a member of the Russian Orthodox Church outside of Russia, or ROKOR. If you belong to the Russian Orthodox Church outside of Russia, or for that matter in Russia, and you want to know what's going on in ROKOR possibly, you need to zero in on this guy, Boris Jordan. He has helped to finance an organization called the Jordan Center. It's got his name on it. The Jordan Center for the Advanced Study of Russia at New York University. One of the people he has helped to host and helped to finance is one Sarah Riccardi-Schwartz. The hyphenated name suggests something. And she belongs to the Orthodox Church in America. And the OCA figures big time in this video. And, of course, the other organization that constantly comes up is at Fordham University. Fordham University's Center for the Study of Orthodoxy. That plays a big role in what is going on in Orthodoxy in the United States as well as elsewhere. It is heavily inundated with homosexuals and lesbians who militantly advocate the LGBTQ agenda. Now, having said all of that, Boris Jordan is a name that you really need to zero in on terms of Wikipedia and in terms of Curaleaf Holdings Incorporated and in terms of what Forbes has to say about Boris Jordan. This guy is a fascinating character. Council on Foreign Relations. We are told that he assisted Russia's economic transition to capitalism in the early 1990s. That ought to say something to you, folks. Assisting in the launch of the Russian stock market and the privatization of state assets as the nation of Russia in those days. Yeah, go ahead.
I just want to say what it says to me is he was there with Jeffrey Sachs and Anatoly Chubais and Summers. So this is the Boris Johnson guy, Boris Jordan guy.
This is Boris Jordan, folks. Exactly. He was a part of that whole crowd that, if we read correctly in other places, was a part of that element
that caused Russia to lose approximately about $350 billion in assets, courtesy of a series of oligarchs who kept Boris Yeltsin well-stocked with vodka. So, exactly.
So is it at the university or at New York University and Fordham University, is he promoting the gay?
Well, perhaps indirectly. I don't know that he has come out and made any pro-gay statements, but nonetheless, this center that he finances has a lot of cross-references with people who do appear in this film. And, you know, one of the fascinating things, folks, is that one of the cupcakes...
I have to say, it sounded like you were introducing him as somebody to watch because he's a good guy, because he's doing great things, but...
It doesn't look that way. It doesn't look that way.
Now, I understand. Sorry.
Exactly. Now, it's interesting. He has a penthouse in South Beach, Miami, that he purchased in 2014, the year of the breakout of the Russian-Ukrainian war, for $20 million. He sold it in May of 2018 to Cliff Asness for a record $26 million. Again, you look at his education, all East Coast United States. We start looking into his connections at Deutsche Bank, Alfred Koch's banker, when Koch was with Gazprom Media. It all goes on and on and on. I don't want to spend any more time with this story. I have a few other things to go through and then turn it back over.
I would just say that I think the reason I'm confused is that he's not Jewish.
Yeah, apparently not. But this is one of these situations, of course, where we have plenty of people who nonetheless serve those interests. The fascinating thing is that his grandfather was the Russian Minister of Provisions before the Russian Revolution. And get a load of this. Jordan is the grandnephew of Tsar Nicholas II's physician, Eugene Botkin. Now, folks, when you start researching Boris Jordan, there are going to be so many links that come up, so many connections. Trying to master the basics of his biography is going to take some doing. But take a look at Wikipedia. Take a look at Curaleaf Holdings Incorporated. Take a look at what Forbes has to say about him. He is the executive chairman of Curaleaf, a cannabis distributor that went public in 2018, folks. This guy is a major financier of the Russian Orthodox Church outside Russia. He was involved in the early 90s and all of what happened in the looting of Russia. He returns to the U.S. in 2012 and invested in Curaleaf, then named Polyatech, when recreational marijuana was legal only in Washington State. He generated, Curaleaf did, $627 million in 2020 revenues from producing and selling marijuana. It operates in 23 U.S. states. Jordan still has a stake in Renaissance Insurance. I haven't researched this yet, but Forbes tells us that Renaissance Insurance is a leading insurance company still in Russia. So he lives, of course, in New York. And you start looking at this whole business of Boris Johnson and his links to some real lefties. Boris Jordan. What's that?
Mm-hmm. Boris Jordan.
Yeah, Boris Johnson. Oh, yeah, that's right. Jordan, I think, at least stays sober. Boris Johnson and Michael Jordan floating around in my mind. But nonetheless, the Jordan Center for the Advanced Study of Russia at New York University and Boris Jordan, at least indirectly, is involved with some of these real lefties and these lefty cupcakes and all of these institutions that appear in this film, the Secret Subversion of American Orthodoxy. That includes the Henry Luce Foundation, the British Council, Fordham University, the Jesuit Institution. They play a major role in this through their special center for Orthodox studies.
Fordham is a Jesuit school. Here's one last clarification. So the Russian Orthodox Church outside Russia, that's like a splinter group. And so, I mean, there are Russian Orthodox churches in America that aren't part of the Russian Orthodox Church outside of Russia, but are under Patriarch what's his name,
the Rokor, the official Russian Orthodox Church outside of Russia, that is under the authority of Patriarch Kirill in Moscow.
Well, what's this guy? What's this guy in charge of, or what's this guy running?
Well, apparently he belongs to Rokor, but the interesting thing is that he is involved as a so-called Russian American financier in all of these activities that suggest that in conjunction with these Jesuit schools, and in conjunction with these various NGOs that appear in this film that I'll have listed in the show description, with some real left-of-center activities. And it appears that the Orthodox Church in America is really, really tied up in some of this stuff that on the left that is really creeping into the Orthodox Church in the United States. Let me just read this one. Jordan funds a center, which we have already mentioned, his own Jordan Center for the Advanced Study of Russia at New York University. This foundation has hosted some of the people that are mentioned in this film's profile. One of them is Sarah Riccardi-Schwartz. Now, if we look at these people, Ms. Schwartz, Riccardi-Schwartz, is a member of the Orthodox Church in America. She is a member of the Fordham Fellowship. The Fordhamites, folks, Jesuits, homosexuals, so forth and so on. She is a journalist who joined a rural Russian Orthodox community to gather data for her project on why people were converting to the Russian Orthodox Church. She then left the community to write a national public radio hit piece where she portrayed the Russian Orthodox Church as unpatriotic and filled with white nationalists and dangerous extremists and presumably people who still believed in the Trinity and who were heterosexual. I added those last two. But nonetheless, keep an eye on that story as it relates to Boris Jordan. He's not Boris Johnson. He's not Michael Jordan. This is Boris Jordan of Rokor in the United States. And all of the articles, which we will have in the show description, underscoring his very, very curious membership in Rokor, at the same time that he had some very curious activities in the early 90s in Russia. At the same time, he resides in New York City. At the same time, he has some very, very interesting lefty links. Global Orthodox also supports today that the Greek Orthodox Church, which figures in this film, that their head, Elpidophoros, the Archbishop Elpidophoros, is now saying that he supports birth control and abortion in certain cases. That would tend to underscore what it is that appears in this film. So let's move on here. Some of us don't think the Russian invasion was aggression. Here's why. Mike Whitney for UNS Review. Here's another must-read, just came out today. Alexander Duggan for Geopolitica. The time for half measures is over. This is the nice guy of the week for National Bugle Radio and RBN, as well as for ACH. The nice guy of the week is Russian Army General S.V. Sorovkin, courtesy of all of these marvelous airstrikes yesterday. He was put in charge of Russia's special military operation in Ukraine. We trust that everyone knows this by now. His nickname within the Russian armed forces is Cannibal. He is known as a tough MFR, a hardliner. He's currently in charge of the southern group of the Russian army and led several offensives which saw Ukrainian troops encircled and destroyed an LPR, largely accredited as the sole reason why the Syrian government was able to regain its territory from ISIS, does not believe in retreats, does not favor surgical approach to strikes. In Syria, we noticed, and I believe this is Intel Slava talking here, we noticed that his approach was rather to go big or to go home. His thing is huge aerial bombardments. This is before they started yesterday that I was reading this. He's also rumored to be next in line to eventually retire Gennady Gerasimov as the chief of the general staff of the Russian armed forces. This is amazing stuff, folks. The quote of the week is also from General Sorovkin. Quote, for the enemies of Russia, the morning does not start with coffee, unquote. It certainly didn't yesterday morning, which was his first day to start working his handiwork. Reminds me that perhaps General Curtis LeMay has appeared to General Sorovkin with the same advice that he gave John Kennedy in October of 1962 during the Cuban Missile Crisis, when General LeMay said to President Kennedy, quote, unquote, you can start the airstrikes now. The plans call for an eight-day campaign. It'll light a fire under the Army's A-double-slash to get in place. So Russia's version of Kurt LeMay is now taking over in Ukraine. He is likely to be the next chief of staff. Make the world go away and get it off my shoulders. Say the things you used to say and make the world.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it. And how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get. And you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
And make the world go away.
So Russia's version of Kurt LeMay is now taking over in Ukraine. He is likely to be the next chief of staff. Chief of the General Staff of the Russian Armed Forces, keep an eye on that story. Tyler Durden tells us at Zero Hedge that Biden is promising Zelensky further advanced air defense systems after the attacks. The bad news is they're already in rubble. South Front, details of the terrorist attack on the Crimean Bridge. That is a great story, by the way, because this all began apparently in Bulgaria. This is apparently where these plastic explosives were loaded, or explosives that were wrapped repeatedly in a plastic saran wrap type of operation. This goes into all of the different geographic locations where this truck drove. There is a disagreement among Russian investigators as to whether the guy from Azerbaijan who was driving the truck when it blew up knew what he was carrying or not. So that's something that is for the investigators to decide. There is one thing that has been confirmed, and that is that the poor man is dead. When we start talking about the notion that the Crimean Bridge attack, the Kerch Bridge attack, may have been a Russian false flag operation, we start getting into what it is that James Kilner has reported for The Telegraph. Sotinet has repeated it with the proof. Ukraine issued stamps to celebrate the Kerch Bridge explosion just hours after the Crimean attack. Sure, it was a Russian false flag. At any rate, we want to get into the State Duma deputy from the Crimean region, Mikhail Sheremet. He is proposing that the NATO satellite constellation be quote-unquote blown out, which according to him conducts renaissance activities and coordinates missile strikes by Ukrainian troops on new Russian territories. That would be an interesting development if people higher up actually took Mikhail at his suggestion.
And I just want to say sure, one thing. And
you know, in a World War III scenario, or even a more scaled down version of what we've got at this point, yeah, there is going to be an attraction or a lure or a benefit to blowing up your enemy's satellites. To do such a thing, though, because these spy satellites, well, a lot of them are in geosynchronous orbit, which is a very specific distance from the surface of the Earth. And when you blow something up, you get a lot of debris, and that debris goes into orbit, and that debris becomes a hazard for all of the other satellites. And you could wind up, if you did something like this, you could wind up making that whole geosynchronous orbit path uninhabitable, if that's the word, for satellites. And you know, mankind would lose its ability to have geosynchronous satellites, or at least it would greatly diminish it. So I'm just throwing that out there. We're running into all sorts of massive dangers for advanced society or for civilization in general.
Yeah,
but don't name the Jews, because that would be rude. It would be anti-Semitic and rude.
That's right. We're all anti-Semites on this show. Anyway, Patrick, since you have given me more information than I already knew about the satellites, seriously now, what do you think of this next one? Russia Today reports that Ukrainian troops are complaining of trouble with Elon Musk's Starlink satellite system. Has Musk decided to shut Ukraine down a little bit? Has Russia interfered with Musk's Starlink system? And what is the relationship, if any, between Musk's Starlink system and the so-called NATO satellite constellation that Mikhail Sheremet was talking about?
Yeah, I really don't know.
Musk has
been under massive attack for merely suggesting that there should be a negotiated settlement and putting forward an example of what that might look like. He's been under massive attack. Ukrainian military, and I guess Ukrainian civilians too, to an extent, maybe the cell phone system, I'm not exactly sure, but they've been maybe you could say excessively dependent on Starlink. So it could be, you know, any one of the possibilities you mentioned, I think, is plausible. I really don't know.
But it's uncharted waters.
Andy?
Yeah, sorry,
did
Patrick,
you have any thoughts on, did you have any thoughts on the Starlink system? Is that something you've come across any news about?
Not really. I mean, I've heard things in the more conspiratorial area. You know, about things like this, which I'm not sure. It's some satellite system to do with Elon Musk. I think you just said that, actually, but that's probably about all I know. I do have an interesting, if you want to go back to Ukraine, this I thought was a satirical piece when I got sent it. This is from the Jerusalem Post, published October the 10th, so Monday. This is the headline: 15,000 Ukrainians decide to have a mass orgy if Russia deploys nuclear weapons. And in this article... you know, and as I say, I thought, literally, this is, I've got the link here, www.jpost.com/OMG, obviously means oh my god, /article-719300. I'll include it in the post for my show, ACHShow.com.
Yeah, please, I need that link too.
I'll drop it in our chat, you'll get it beforehand. But what I'm going to do is, this is one of these articles that, it's got the whole, there's a little play button here, and it's 2:54, and we're only going to play the first few seconds because that's all you need to hear. You can read the rest of it if you like, just so people know that this is all a proper Jerusalem Post article. So just have a listen. The guy's going to read the headline and the subheadline, and then I'll stop it. Listen to this.
15,000 Ukrainians decide to have a mass orgy if Russia deploys nuclear weapons. More than 15,000 have confirmed participation in a sex party on a hill if Putin decides to press the red button, with participants even indicating whether they prefer anal or oral sex.
There you go.
And this is what we're being told. Kiev Pride.
Well, this is what we're being told in the West we've got to defend. And the other thing I want to share quickly. Go ahead, Patrick.
Any time you're feeling lonely, any time you're feeling blue.
Truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. RL, 5 stars. Been taking this for 2 months now. I feel better. Have more energy. April, my husband started taking Extendivite, and he said he feels much better and has more energy. EW, need to try. Everyone needs this for their health. Great product, great people. Josie, it works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. JC, great product. Has worked well these last few years. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Tune in Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 Central, to the Alternative Media with your host, Farron. If you've not been listening, this is some of what you've been missing.
2,000 mules, like you like to say occasionally, Farron, in your face.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries available that could provide milk for their adopted children.
Listen, news media, all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino, neocon, cucks.
This is wonderful things called Vote with Defeat. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist, and everyone else is a reality theorist.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty, or let's give you death.
Any excuse to go and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead, and when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
You say you want me back again. That's the time I'll come back home to you.
And this is what we're being
told. That would be the end of Kiev Pride.
Well, this is what we're being told in the West we've got to defend. And the other thing I want to share quickly. Go ahead, Patrick.
That's from the Jerusalem Post.
Yep, I'll drop it now.
Yep.
Sounds like Mark's already found it. I'll drop it here anyway, just open up our chat. But one thing I just want to share with you both, I've actually been to the Ukraine. I went in 2010, September, October time, so about 12 years ago. I was with a girlfriend at the time who was from there, and she went to see her parents. And, you know, we only were there 4 or 5 days, I think. And then one evening, she wanted to go and see her parents by herself, have a chat and stuff without having to translate everything for me. You can understand that. So I went off to a bar in the evening while she went off to her parents. We were staying in a separate place anyway from her parents. And I watched a European football game or something, got chatting to some guys in there, seemed quite friendly. I was walking back to where we were staying, and a police car pulled up next to me and asked me where my papers were, different things like that. To cut a long story short, I was taken away with them. I was taken to a police station, told that I didn't have papers, all this stuff, and essentially all they wanted was money. And they said, if you give us some money, we'll take you back to you. So I gave them the money I had, which was probably about $50, $100, something like that. Wasn't a lot, but it's still an amount, isn't it? And then they drove me back and dropped me off where I was staying, and I wouldn't have even known, you know, because I mean, their language, it's all sort of, I mean, they even write the R's the wrong way around, don't they? But my point being is that that's how it was back then, and that's my experience of it. Such a corrupt nation as that, but police forces. And I don't know how they identified me as a tourist, that, you know, I look so different from your average Ukrainian or something. Or I was thinking about it earlier today, so I thought this might come up. And maybe the people in the bar contacted them and said, oh, you've got a guy here, and they'll weigh him in as well, you know, give him a cut. You just don't know. But I've travelled, I think I've been to 37 different countries in the world. That's the only time something like that's ever happened to me. So that's something I can tell you is absolutely genuine, because it happened to me 12 years ago. Back to you, Patrick.
Okay. And Mark, do you have more articles for us?
Yeah, but that last one that Andy introduced is certainly much better than anything else I've got. let me whip through these. A video, A Sniper's War, on YouTube. That'll be in the links. Covert Action Magazine, another CIA color revolution in Iran, like 1953. Well, what do you think? Yeah, for sure.
That was the mother of all color revolutions, pretty much, wasn't it? The Mossadegh, overthrowing, yes. Mossadegh.
The 1953 Operation Ajax in Iran was basically became the as it were the foundational model for everything else, it seems, that has followed. So take a look at that one. Yeah. Stephen Kinzer's book, by the way. Go ahead.
There's a CIQ a year earlier in Guatemala, and maybe technically that might have.
I think Guatemala was 54. Actually, it followed a year later.
Then I stand corrected. Yeah, you're probably right.
No, okay. No problem. But nonetheless, take a look sometime, folks, if you haven't read it, at Stephen Kinzer's book, All the Shah's Men, probably, in English anyway, the definitive book on the whole business of Operation Ajax and Kermit Roosevelt and what the American CIA and the British MI6 actually did in 1953. The problem now, of course, in 2022, is that the opposition is on to them. British economy is grim. That's South Front. We might ask Andy for some personal anecdotes in regard to how serious that is becoming there. Here's another South Front piece. John Bolton says Putin is on the U.S. target list. Bolton doesn't say whether or not he's on Russia's target list or whether his irresponsible rhetoric is going to put the rest of us on the target list. But nonetheless, that is there at South Front. Let's, at a bare minimum, get John Bolton bound and gagged and throw him in Guantanamo someplace and throw away the key. Here's one, folks. Vanessa Bealey, the very well-known and legitimate independent journalist who really did so much to expose the White Helmets' connection to jihadic extremists and to British intelligence in the attempts to overthrow Assad in Syria. We are now reading about a French member of parliament, Nathalie Loiseau, if I'm pronouncing her name correctly. I really don't care whether I am or not. She nonetheless is calling on the EU parliament to sanction Vanessa Bealey and all the observers of the Donbass referendums. This comes to us from Max Blumenthal and Anya Parampil of the Gray Zone. Mrs. Bealey has actually been reporting on her Telegram page, which is something that would really be worth anyone's while to get. I follow her every day. She's been reporting on this case. This dovetails with what GeoStrategy is telling us, geostrategy.rs, the renaissance of Western democracy, killing lists, and the persecution of free thought. Get a load of that one, folks, especially in light of Zelensky's situation in the Ukraine, in an organization there which is involved in creating lists of people critical of Zelensky and his regime who have been marked for everything from extreme persecution and economic sanctions to apparently at least the insinuation of violent death. And I don't have the name of that group in front of me, and I do know how to spell it. And when it comes to me, it will be worth your while to take a look at that organization, which, of course, we have covered before on this show. And it goes by something called Mivoret TV or something like that. And we'll get to that one by the time of the show end. It'll certainly be in the show description. Here's one for you. The Rand Corporation Report, 2019, U.S. in damning admission of long planning war against Russia. This is the Telegraph on the Rand Corporation report in 2019. As much as I know about General Curtis LeMay, since my dad knew him and worked for him for a while, I was unaware of what this report indicates, what Telegraph indicates about this report, is that General LeMay played a major role in the founding of the Rand Corporation. And that's something, of course, that does appear in this article. Jaffe Arnold has written something for geopolitica.ru, yet another memoriam to Daria Platonova Dugina. And by the way, Don Wassel of the Freedom Times has, in the current issue, has included my article on the assassination of Dugina in the print version of the Freedom Times. A good plug for Don at that point. King Charles III and his affinity for Zionism. That is something that comes to us via press television. And at this particular point, folks, in the next 24 to 48 hours, of course, I will continue following this whole issue of what is really going on in the battlefields of Donbass and Ukraine, as reported to me by six or seven news agencies, none of which are controlled by the West. Back to you guys.
Okay, well, thank you very much for all that. Now, before we started the show, Andy mentioned that it's very warm in his flat. And, of course, it's October. We are heading into a winter, and this is a winter where you've got a sabotaged pipeline that was built in order to send vast quantities of cheap energy to Europe, which aren't going to be reaching Europe. You've also got a very new prime minister who was, as foreign secretary, was all in on the Ukraine stuff, all in, and she's very hawkish on Ukraine. The UK is actually one of the suspects in the sabotage of that pipeline. Liz Truss is recently, she was out there saying she's a, what is she, what was the adjective she used? An enormous Zionist and an enormous,
a huge Zionist and a huge supporter of Israel. Back to you, Patrick.
Yeah. And so, I mean, my question to you, Andy, is what is the outlook, the midterm outlook, just for the next 3 or 4 months for Britain? Is it completely destabilized? What would a cold winter do to British society and British politics?
Well, Mike, a cold winter, I mean, it's a strange one, actually, because you accurately made the point. In my apartment, I mean, it's just a really hot sun out there at the moment. It feels cold sometimes. I put my heating on for the first time a couple of weeks ago, and I've had to turn it off because it's been so sunny that there's been a little slight chill in the air. So I'm not walking around in a T-shirt like I was. I've got a thin coat on. But because where I live is south-facing and I've got a sort of patio doors on my balcony, they're all glass. And so the heat just draws in, and it's 88 degrees Fahrenheit, a strange number at the moment while I'm recording this. And you think, well, we're nearly at the middle of October. But we know that the weather can suddenly just go like that and get very cold. I asked somebody, they didn't seem, I should have really looked it up. There's been some suggestions that if you have a very hot summer, it sometimes precedes a very cold winter. It's not going to be good. But also, I mean, energy isn't just heat. Energy is, for example, we know how much they hate prepping out there because they want us to suffer. So they don't want anyone to get away with it, so to speak. I'm reminded of that Daniel Andrews, one of his famous speeches in Victoria, Australia, you know, the king of the lockdowns over there. And he actually said, if you think you're going to wait us out, referring to the vaccines, you're not, because we're going to keep extending it and extending it. And in the end, you're going to give in and you're going to want to have your restrictions lifted. And so you'll take the vaccine. So these people are very sly and very sneaky. And they're going to be aware that some people will have prepared to survive, which they don't want them to do. So what I'm getting to is, when you talk about prepping, what about frozen food? Because a lot of people will buy that in. Well, you turn someone's freezer off for a day, or two, you know, once that stuff's thawed out, you're not supposed to refreeze it. So if you go out now thinking, oh, we're gonna have a meat shortage, let's buy loads of meat, well, unless you've got loads of money and you're prepared to lose it if suddenly they give you these power cuts, which they've been talking about, then you're going to be in a bad situation. You're going to lose a lot of money and you're going to lose a lot of food. But the biggest concern for me with this woman getting in is it seems to be engineered, because people do not want her. If we had an election tomorrow, there's no way the Conservative Party would win it, because people do not like her. But the people that do like her are the people she appeals to by saying, I'm a huge Zionist and a huge supporter of Israel. And I referred to an article on the Monday show I put out, The Lime Is, on achshow.com. And there's an article in there. Just go to that show. It's called So I Guess That's Why We Needed a New Prime Minister. And you'll find a link to a Jewish news article entitled Liz Truss, I'm a Huge Zionist and Huge Supporter of Israel. And it's not so much just what she says, but then we've got our Foreign Secretary, James Cleverly. He's basically saying how much he loves Israel. And then you've got the Conservative Party chairman saying the same thing. International Trade Secretary has Israel right at the top of the list of her priorities. But the most interesting one for me is we've got something coming up called the Online Harms Bill or the Online Safety Bill that I'm sure Mark Collett probably mentioned to you, Patrick. And that's overseen by the government department, the Digital Culture, Media and Sport. And this is headed up by someone I've not heard of before called Michelle Donnellan. And she basically said she was exceptionally proud of the work she did as universities minister to crack down on the anti-Semitism that runs through some of the political movements still in this country. And then she goes on, no, she vowed, this is what they say in the article, she vowed, as a government, we remain firm in our commitment to stamp out anti-Semitism in every corner of society. Under this Prime Minister, we will be taking even more of those actions because we certainly should be ensuring that people who grow up in the society of modern Britain don't even have to consider anti-Semitism. And this begs the question, what is anti-Semitism? And we're seeing more and more, as you brought up the Kanye West thing about him saying that this group was behind cancel culture. Well, what happened then? He got cancelled. Okay, I've got a World Jewish Congress article from 2013, October, we're talking 9 years ago now, which is a letter to Amazon asking them to take my book off Amazon, which they ended up doing 2017, 2018, something like that. So they certainly didn't yield straight away. So these people, and we always have to caveat because they're looking to trip you up any way that they can. If they can say that you're talking about them as a collective, Barbara Lerner Spector can refer to Jews as a collective. She can say, we Jews are at the centre of, you know, immigration into the West, and that's fine. But if anyone else says it, oh, we can get you, that's anti-Semitism, that's hate speech. So as a broadcaster in the UK, you have to be more and more careful while they try to trip you up, to try and arrest you, to try and shut you up, to try and lock you up. And it's going to get to a stage where if you point out any, and I think even in the international definition of anti-Semitism, it refers somewhere to any accused wrongdoing, whether real or imagined. So even if something, and there's real wrongdoing that you can prove, if they deem that that's anti-Semitic, then they can do what they want to you. And that's where we're going. And this is Bolshevism 2.0 that we're seeing around the world now. And as we know, one of the first things that Vladimir Lenin did was he made it an offence. Anti-Semitism was an offence punishable by death. So my big concern about Truss and her band of merry men and women is really what they're going to do to free speech in this country. Back to you.
Well, that's something. You mentioned Kanye West, and Kanye West, I guess my listeners have heard me say earlier this week that I don't necessarily find him the most articulate spokesman for white supremacism or anti-Termitism or whatever. But it's hugely significant. Like, you know, both of your thoughts on this, I think it's hugely significant because he is so popular that there will be people listening to him, even if his ability to push out his message to people is impaired, he's got enough fans who are going to actively seek it out. And so he's somebody who has access to millions and millions of people, especially younger people. And he is saying things, he's breaking that taboo on talking about Jewish power. He's breaking it. Tucker Carlson's not breaking it. You know, even Paul Gosar is not breaking it. They might be doing some good work, but he's breaking it. And, you know, he's breaking a hole in that line. And will other people follow? So what do you think, Mark, and then Andy?
Well, I think we're right back, Patrick, to the cover story for Don Wassell's Freedom Times today, which, of course, Don's got an ad on the RBN website. The title of this cover story is When Must a Good Citizen Become a Dissident? And I think, of course, we are well past that point. The question is, what kind of methodologies are dissidents going to have to resort to in a day and age where we are nearing a police state of virtually Stalinistic dimensions. I'm not prepared to say on the air what some of those methodologies might be, but it seems to me, of course, that when you start looking at the economy and the increasing anger of people in Europe and the increasing anger of people is starting to boil in the United States, both on this issue of massive illegal immigration as well as energy and food price costs, the South Front article that will be in our show description talking about the number of companies in Britain that have had to shut down, just as one example. It will reach a point, it seems to me, where people who are, quote unquote, both good citizens and dissidents, quote unquote, might be forced to head in directions that would have been unthinkable to them even 5 years ago. That's about all I'll say on that. But at this particular juncture, as temperatures rise and as Liz Truss and Joe Biden and all of these other people continue to ratchet down on freedom of speech, this is where we are. One thing I'll mention, then we'll throw it over to Andy. The name of that Ukrainian hit list organization, which is talking about Russian propagandists.
Well, in 1814, we took a little trip along with Colonel Jackson down the mighty Mississippi. We took a little bacon and we took a little beans, and we met up with the British near the town of New Orleans. We fired our guns and the British...
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
NPR says that Biden's pot pardon will help reverse the racist enforcement of the war on drugs. I'm Peter Serafine with today's Liberty Minute. So some advocates of the marijuana possession pardon say that the decades-old war on drugs has imprisoned black and brown people at higher rates. Well, that may be true, but it was Biden that championed the 1994 drug laws, which disproportionately attacked crack cocaine over powdered cocaine. And more importantly, with over 100,000 people dying from fentanyl poisoning last year, should marijuana even be on the radar? Fentanyl is now the number one killer of people 18 to 45 years old. Has anyone ever died from a marijuana overdose? Although I agree with the pot pardon, I would much rather see our federal government spending its time and our money on stomping fentanyl. Find more news and commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until tomorrow. See this Pashem Parabellum.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Couldn't catch 'em down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico.
The name of that Ukrainian hit list organization, which is talking about Russian propagandists, the name of this organization, and I had it spelled correctly, going to try and pronounce it correctly, Myrat Voretz. My Rot Voretz, which means peacemaker in Ukrainian. They have all kinds of people who are alleged traitors on their list. And it's quite obvious, and Jeremy Kuzmarov, who wrote this story originally for Covert Magazine, Covert Action Magazine, underscores that it doesn't take a real genius to figure out what the ultimate purposes of this list might be. But in this particular juncture, what is most important to underscore is that Myrat Voretz, meaning peacemaker in Ukrainian, has its domain name in Langley, Virginia, which is where the headquarters of the Central Intelligence Agency is located. Folks, you think about the implications of this in terms of independent journalism, freedom of speech, and the fact that if some of the unbelievable names that are on this list in terms of ever being posted on such a list, that the United States government is continuing to bankroll operations like this connected to our Jewish drag queen comedian friend in Kiev. This is going to have implications for every single person in the Western world, especially who chooses to dissent from the Zio party line. Andy, what do you think?
Yeah, thank you, Mark. Thank you, Patrick. Very quickly, because I just, after Kanye West came out and I saw some article, Daily Mail, oh, vile anti-Semitism, all this stuff in the headline. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I love it when the Daily Mail has to do this because they do it willingly. Okay, but they'll never talk about banking control. They, funny enough, no, I'll give them credit. Only the week before, they actually had an article about the Rothschild family selling off some of their property. And I'm talking about their home decor because they're having the refit. And they said that they're estimated to be, they're the richest family in the world, estimated to be worth £450 billion. And according to Wikipedia's richest people in the world, which they have Elon Musk at the top, I think he's on about 220. So that's more than twice what they say the richest person in the world is worth. I don't think that that's correct anyway. And I think the Rothschild family are worth a lot more. But it's interesting how one week they'll say that, and then this guy who alludes to the power of the elites in this area, because he referred to the power they have on record companies, oh, he's vile, he's anti-Semite, all this sort of slurs and insults that they throw at you for pointing out things that don't really sound particularly fair. And the other thing that I noticed after he came out was they rolled out a few celebrities, and there were two people, names that I saw in the headline that were condemning him. One was Jamie Lee Curtis and the other was Sarah Silverman. So, you know, completely impartial people there, naturally. And that's and the thing about Sarah Silverman, she joked about, well, I don't think she was even joking. I think she was absolutely serious about how she'd like to kill Jesus Christ again if he came back. So there's never any condemnation in the mainstream media about that.
And Jamie Lee Curtis, I know she's at least Jewish on her father's side. Curtis, what was the father's name?
Tony Curtis. And if you look up, if you look up him on Wikipedia, there's this little interesting section. I can't say if it's still there or it's on her. It's on, I think it's on his. And later in life, he wanted to get involved in some sort of charity work. And him and his, her, I believe, it has to be checked, got together. And the charities that they supported were all Jewish-only charities. Okay, so these people come out and they say how philanthropic they are and what have you. But it's always about giving to their own people.
Yeah. Okay. I know we're at the end of the show. One last fun fact. The official name of the CIA headquarters is the oxymoronically named George Bush Center for Intelligence. I want to thank you, gentlemen. And fun fact. And I'll be back next time with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure and natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com. S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.